four. from you free. Don't let the devil cloud your mind and make you think you're still in bondage. Yes, Lord. Don't let the devil tell you this is me there when you know God is healing. Lord, we thank you. Don't let the devil tell you I'm still sick when God said you are healed. And when he says, I made whole, in Greek is sozo. When he says zozo, I remember that because that happened with justice. Yes. There's some healings that are physical. Yes. But when he says sozo, that's a spiritual healing.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That healing will take you from earth to glory.
Hallelujah.
So when he said that I'm whole, that means I am free.
Yes.
God, thank you. Nothing the devil in hell can do to keep me bound.
Yeah.
Nothing sickness can do to keep me bound, because I am, can we say, free?
Free.
How many are glad today that you're free?
Yeah.
Amen. The only freedom that any of us have is knowing who the Savior is. Amen. Jesus said, he whom the Son set free is free indeed. Today we thank God for freedom. We thank God for all that he's doing. We thank God for my wife that's still pressing away. We thank God for all of you. We thank God for all of the testimonies. Amen. We thank God for bringing Brother Danny safely over the airway.
Yes.
And you're right, Brother Danny. God knows better than we know. God knows certainly I'm not his fault. I think thank God for saying, Penny, I'm the way you look at that Penny, but I know you're in New York. But wherever you came from, God brought you. Amen. We thank God that he brought you safely here. Are you still in Ohio?
I'm in New York.
Okay. Amen. We thank God for Sister Ford being here all the way from Brooklyn. Amen. God is a good God. How many know we serve a mighty good God?
Amen.
And anyone else, amen, that are here, Brother Lee, we thank God for seeing you and all the other visitors and friends. Nothing like God to save you. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Last week we went over when the Lord was speaking. I don't know why I'm back in Genesis again, but I just know where the Lord leads, because I actually have another message earlier. And I prepared the message, and I said that message to you. So I couldn't tell that message. I wasn't going to go against God. He said that message was for you.
Amen.
I mean, sometimes God has to get a hold of the messenger before he can deliver a message.
Amen.
God has to speak to us ministers sometimes before we can speak to the people. Amen. And I was pretty excited as the Lord was speaking to him. When I got through all my study, he said, "Now, good, that was for you." Well, what I like about God is he instantly gave me what was for you. For you all. Amen. He gave me what was for you all. And today we're living in such challenging times. And as an elder, a minister, a preacher, or whatever, evangelist, whatever your calling is, one of the most important things that we have to do is put the anointing before us. Amen. We have to put God's Spirit before us. We have to be another John the Baptist. John said he must increase and we must decrease. So as a minister, whatever your occupation or office is in church, if the anointing is not before you, and so the most important thing is God has to go before us. Remember when God called the children of Israel out of Egypt and going to the promised land, Moses said, "Lord, if you don't go with us, we can't go." Amen. Down south, down, the old folks used to say, "Lord, if you don't move, we can't do nothing." How many know if God don't move, we can jump and scream and do all we want? That's just in the flesh.
All right.
Amen. But Paul said, "My speech and my preaching was not in the enticing vain words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of man." And I'm afraid today too many people's faith is standing in the wisdom of man. But our faith is not supposed to be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
He said, "Lord, just send your power. Lord, send your Spirit. Lord, move in this place. Lord, touch every heart. Those that came in and didn't know they want to be saved, Lord, touch them before service is over. From the young to the old, move on everybody." Can we say hallelujah? But let us stand for our scripture reading, which is going to come from Genesis, the 22nd chapter, and Genesis, the 18th chapter again. Amen. I hope we get out of Genesis. But our message last week was Pelah. How many, what does Pelah mean? Yes, there.
Anything too hard.
Preacher, Is there anything too hard for God? So we're going to go to Genesis 22, we're going to read verses 1 through 12, and then we're going to read verse, one verse in chapter 18, and then the 19th verse of Genesis 18. Amen. We're just so glad today to know that we have a personal relationship
Amen.
With God. There are a lot of relationships we have, but they're not personal. There are a lot of people we know, but they're not personal. Personal goes beyond just what's an outward expression. But personal goes to the point when you sorrow, your friend sorrow.
All right.
Personal goes to the point that when you're down, your friend is down. Why? Because we are not just attached from a distance, but we are intimately attached. Don't say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, we know that Abraham was intimately attached to God. How do we know? Because God said it. God called Abraham his friend. Oh, what a distinction. What an honor. God called you my friend. Amen. I believe Abraham, now he did say that we are not strangers, but we are friends. But Abraham had a special place in God. Amen. So Genesis 22, verses 1 through 12 reads, and it came to pass, after these things, after all that Abraham had gone through for year after year after year, 25 years of promise, got his son Isaac. Isaac is now a young man. God said, after you're going through all of that, you're not going to be through suffering.
Right.
He said, after all these things that God did tempt or prove or test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will. You know, that's when you can walk in faith. You just walk with God and say, I'm not going to tell you the things. I'm going to tell you when you get there. How many of us have that kind of faith to believe God?
All right.
Lord, you say, go, I'll just go. I don't know where it's at. But if you tell me to go out here, let me know when I get there. Amen. I'm going to go early in the morning and sell up his ass and took two of his young men with him. And Isaac his son, and laid the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. I may want to go to some place where God didn't tell us to go. Amen. God told you to go somewhere. Personally, where are you at today? Are you listening to what God told you? So Abraham went where God had what? Told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. By faith, Abraham already said, you don't have to worry about nothing.
All right.
God's going to provide himself.
Yes.
And he's going to be your offering. But he didn't understand how God was going to do it, but he still walked in obedience. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
And they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood and altar and bowed Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the child, neither do thou anything unto him. For now, Lord, now, he said, now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. Now, Genesis 18, 19. It reads, "For I know him," talking about Abraham, "that he will command his children and his household after him, because in our what I know him, is the will of the Lord to do justice and faith, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." And Lord, we thank you today. Lord, we pray especially for an anointing to rest in this place. Lord, we pray for the Spirit of God to be here so that you can send captive minds free. Lord, let your Spirit be here so that you can heal bruised hearts. Lord, let your Spirit be here in the name of Jesus. Oh God, so that you can open the eyes of the spiritually blind. Oh God, let your word be here, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, so that you can move mightily in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we know only the anointing can destroy the yokes. We know only the anointing can set the captives free. So, Lord, our hearts and eyes today, send your anointing through thy word to heal, to deliver, and to set free. Can everybody say in Jesus' name?
Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I'm going to read, let me read the letter, verse 12 and Genesis 18, 19, the beginning, and where we're going to get our message from today. Amen. Verse 12 said, and he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the land, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know. Genesis 18, 19, he says, "For I know him." And our message today is, what does God know about you? What does God know about you? Now, all of us know something about each other.
All right.
But God can see further than we can. The first verse of Genesis 22 reads, "And it came to pass after these things." Now, Abraham had gone through year after year of tests and trials. Abraham had many ups. Abraham had many downs. Abraham had times when he was honest. Abraham had times when he misrepresented. But still, God loved him. Because he knew in Abraham's heart, every wrong that Abraham had done, he would make it right, because God said, I know him.
Yes.
I know all about Abraham. How many of us today, we mess up so much? Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God knows us? But what does God know about you? Does he know that even in your errors, amen, you will have a mind to do what is right? So he said in verse 1, he said, God did tempt Abraham after all he'd been through, after all these years. Many believe at this time that Isaac was either in his late 20s or 30s. So you can assume it's been at least 50 or 60 years of Abraham going through tests after tests. But God said, I have one last test that I need you to pass. Amen. I want to tell you how many of us may have one more test that God wants us to pass. He said, now, I want you to take your son, your only son. Yes, I know he means the world to you, Abraham. And I know he's a child of promise. But I want to give you this test to see if there's anything in your life, Abraham, that you love more than me. I just want to know from a view, from a special point. Now he said unto Abraham, and Abraham said to him, "Behold, here am I." Now also in the 11th verse, I want to give you something for those that are studying. God asked him, the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven, and Abraham said, "Abraham, Abraham," he said, "Here am I." Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm studying God's word, I want to know what it means. I know what "here am I" means. Like anybody ever been in school, they call your name and say, "Friend." Like, "Here am I." Right? I'm here. Well, when I tried to figure out from the strong concordance in the lexicon, what does "here am I" mean? When I got to those parts of the scripture, they were blank. How many know God don't give a blank word? Amen. So if you look up in your concordance or your linear thing that explains it, when you get to those two portions of the scripture, they're blank. So being that I want to know what I'm reading, talking. Amen. So I couldn't find it in the concordance. I couldn't find it in the lexicon. So I said, let me go and read it in the Hebrew. Right? Because God does not speak anyway just for nothing. And what was God's original language that he spoke in? Hebrew. Amen. So the translators, because they did not know how to translate what this here and I mean, they left it blank. But when I went to the Hebrew said, here and I means him and I. I believe it's H-I-N-E-N-I or H-E-N-E-N-I. I haven't looked at it in a while. Him and I means, Lord, I'm at your complete disposal. In other words, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I have no stipulations. I have no conditions. And I was wondering something that's that valuable and important. Why the translators left it blank? Why didn't they have anything? But thank God for going back to God's original language. So what God is telling, what Abraham is telling God, he said, Lord, I have no stipulations. Lord, I have no demand. Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. You know the old song that said, where he leads me, I will
follow.
But the question is, how many of us are following him, but we've distanced ourselves between God? We're not following him as close as we used to. Amen. We're following him, but we can't even, God is beginning to faint in the distance. We can't even see the greatness of God because we distance ourselves, because we can't say, here am I. Or we can't say, here I am. That's not just saying I'm present, but it says, Lord, I'm at your complete disposal. So God said, now you said you're at my complete disposal, and anything I ask you to do, you're doing it. He says, I'm going to ask you to do the ultimate thing. And now, I may know it's kind of confusing. When God was telling the children of Israel, don't sacrifice your children, because that's what the pagans did. Don't offer your children unto the God, because that's what the pagan does. Amen. So God tells Abraham, I'm going to make you violate my own law, because you told me. Here I am. I'm going to make you violate my own law. I know you're not supposed to offer your children to Molech and burn them in the fire, and I know you're not supposed to offer a human sacrifice. But you just told me I'll do anything you ask me to do. You just told me I'll go where you want me to go. So I said, now I'm going to ask you to do something that when you look at it in my word, you're going to say, God, this doesn't make sense. You are asking me to do something that's contrary to your word. So he said, I want you to take your son, your... Yeah, I know you got another child, but he don't count because he wasn't in my will. So what I want you to do now, I want you to take something that's in my will, and I want you to sacrifice it. Anybody know we've been doing something in God's will? God said, I want you to take something that I gave you in my will, and I want you to sacrifice it. In the back of our mind, we said, well, Lord, you gave it to me. You told me to do this. Why would you ask me to sacrifice it? Because here I am. Yes. That means, Lord, I have no conditions. I have no stipulations. I'm a soul on the road to Damascus. I just had a Damascus experience, and when he finally got Saul's attention, he said, Lord, what will thou hinder not? What will thou have me to do? Amen. I wonder today, how many of us in church, I'm not talking to the baby of Christ, I'm talking about seasoned saints. They're walking for God, with God for a long time. Yes. After all of these things, anybody been through some stuff? Come on, has anybody been through some stuff? But I have not yet given myself to God. to do what he wanted me to do. So when they called me, I'm trying to get the praise team, but let the praise team sing. Because as long as the praise team is singing, I can hide behind the mixer. Well, I can tell myself, right? That's what I used to do. Now, after these things, I've gained progress. Now I can hear from God. So God said, I want you to take the promise and sacrifice the promise. Any of us has some stuff that God promised us and we got it. And then God spoke to us. I wish Sid was in here. Sid said she went running there. She said, I don't believe it. Some of us have passed by don't believe in moments. Believe me, moments. When God spoke to us, now we walked with God for a long time, but we've heard of God by the hearing of somebody else's ear. We see what God has done for others. But after Job had went through all that he went through in the 42nd chapter, he went through 41 chapters to learn that I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye do see. I wonder today how many of us have lived on everybody else's testimony.
The problem in church.
He prints up their minds without questioning God, without asking him, are you sure? And when he lifts up the knife to slay his son Isaac, God calls to him in the 12th verse, and he said, Abraham, Abraham, don't slay the child. Right. He said, because now I
know.
You know why some of us are still going to the same trial? Because when it was time to slay our promise, we kept back on God. So God had to take us to the same test again, because God Amen. Head knowledge means you know in part. Head and heart knowledge means you know in full.
Amen.
So Abraham, it says, God says to Abraham, Yah. That means I know you in full.
Yes.
I know you in the entirety. I know that maybe you messed up along the way. But when I give you an opportunity to do what's right, you're going to do the right thing because I know you. Amen. I wonder how many of us have reached a crossroads spiritually. Lord, I'm trying to determine what direction I want to go in. But Lord, I'll do this, but I don't want to do that. God said, well, I can't take you to that next level until you surrender all. What's the old song say? I must surrender all. Amen. Too many of us won't raise both hands and surrender. How many know that when a policeman deals with you, he won't let you raise one hand, he can't do what? Why, that's complete surrender. I'm afraid in church, too many saints are raising one hand to trust God and keep the other hand down just in case God mess up. I tell you this, there's no mess up in God. So It's not about me, but it's all
about Jesus.
I said it's not about me, but it's all about
Jesus.
I wonder how many of us can say that from the depth of our soul. Let me talk about God. A lot of us have a head knowledge, but it has not yet got in our heart. Because when it gets in our heart, if God said run through that door and it's closed, that's what you do. Run through the door. Who said it? God said it. So a lot of us who are what hand ladies?
Jesus.
Right, we run to the door and stop. Because we haven't fully heard from God. We haven't fully surrendered. We're still holding on to too much of us. And when you pray, do you see Christ or do you see you? Yeah, when you pray, right, the Bible says we're supposed to pray a prayer of supplication, prayer of intercession. When you pray, you're supposed to start off by first thanking God.
Yes.
This is how you're supposed to pray. You're supposed to first thank God.
Yes.
A lot of us, when we start praying, God, I need this, and I need that, and I need the other, and I want you to go here, and I want you to do that, we just send God around like he's a messenger. Right? Because that's head knowledge. Heart knowledge is, Lord, I surrender all.
Yes.
Lord, right now I'm praying, I don't understand a whole lot, but I trust you.
Yes.
And I believe God. So because I trust you, I'm going to rejoice, and again I'm going to rejoice.
Yes.
I don't understand why I'm in this prison, says Paul, but I'm still going to rejoice.
Yes.
I don't understand all the things that are happening around me, in my family, with loved ones, the confusion, I don't understand, but I'm still going to rejoice. Amen. So I'm going to offer the sacrifice unto God. Amen. I'm going to give God a thanksgiving. So because I have a surrendering spirit, when I pray, God, I'm not going to even mention myself at all. Because I have surrendered. I'm not going to tell you about the house I want, about the car I want. I'm not going to tell you about the job I want. I'm not going to tell you how much money I want. I'm not going to tell you to take vengeance on my enemy. Lord, all I'm going to do is just pray. I'm just going to surrender all. God, I'm just going to let you take full control. Why? Because if you're taking full control, God, I don't have to question your sovereignty. I don't have to question when you leave me. God, I don't have to ask you why. Because I have surrendered all. So when I surrender all, when I begin to pray, I just delight myself in the Lord. Well, why do you delight yourself in the Lord? Because when you delight yourself in the Lord, you don't have to say a word. Because he'll give you the
desire.
As you're praying, the Spirit searches our hearts.
Right.
Amen. So when you're praying right, God, Spirit is searching your heart. And then he's making intercession for the saints according to their own will. According to the will of God. So when you pray and you are completely sold out, you're praying, Lord, but thy will be done. That's when you got a worship.
Amen.
That's when you got both hands raised. Amen. But when you don't have a worship, when you don't have complete surrender, you put up one hand and you say, Lord, I'm following if. Don't give God an if clause. When you say God if, you say, God, I don't fully trust you. When you fully trust God, I said, fully trusting God is the Hebrew word betak. It's on one of our right here. That's betak. You know what betak means? It means you free fall backwards. And you don't have to look back and say, God, are you there? Because you trust him. Many of us, God said to do something, and we check to make sure God is doing everything he's going to do. God said, you just do it. Even if you mess up and you're doing it my will, I take the crooked thing. He said, I'll take the rough. Anybody got some rough places? Fully follow him. He said, I'll take those rough places and make them smooth. But the thing is, God says, I know all about you. I know that there's still some parts of you that you have not given completely to me. So I can't take you spiritually where you need surfacely skim Job. Job, the Bible, God said about Job, he said he's perfect, he's upright, and he has integrity. But there's some stuff in Job that hardships brought out. There was some ungodliness in Job that his trials brought out. So Job got to the point where he said, I'm more righteous than God. That's a bad position. Well, how did he get to that point? His trials, his tests, got him to the point where he became more righteous than God. Saints, don't get to the point where you think you know better than God.
Mm.
Don't get to the point where you say, my righteousness, Job said, my righteousness exceeds God, because I haven't done anything to be in this place where I'm at. So Job said, you know what? My righteousness is so much, I wish God would show up on the scene. He said, I will content him with him to his face.
Yeah.
Amen. So God said, well, I'm going to come right now, I'm going to send Elihu. When Elihu came in a whirlwind, that represents the Holy Ghost of the Spirit. So Elihu comes and he deals with Job. And Elihu couldn't get through to Job because Job was self-righteous.
Mm.
So even though the Spirit of God, which Elihu represents the Spirit of God, was dealing with Job, he couldn't get through. So around the 36th chapter of Job, God, a 38th chapter, one of Job, God shows up on the scene himself, 38. He said, okay, Job, you've been asking for me. Now here I am. He said, now you've been running your mouth to all of these men. He said, now I want you to stand up and answer me like a man. He said, Job, where are you? When I did this, where are you? And I did that. Job said, I have to put my hand over my mouth. Why? Because it was too much of Job and not enough of God. Has any of us seen too much of us? I pray daily, Lord, help me to decrease so that you can increase. A lot of us need a Job experience. We need God to show us what he sees in us. He tells them, I'm almost finished. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, the Bible says he allowed the children of Israel to go through the wilderness. He allowed them to go through hardships. He allowed them to go through trials. He allowed them, he suffered them to hunger because he only wanted to know, in your heart, will you keep my word or not? So God allows us to go through stuff, not to overthrow us, but he wants to know in our heart, will we keep his word or not? Now, guess who already knew the answer? God did.
Yes.
God already knew the answer, but he needed Israel to see themselves like he saw them. He said, I humble thee. I suffer thee to hunger, so that you might understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by
every word
that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So we need to be consuming God's word on a daily basis. Why? I want to be in God's will. How can you be in God's will if you don't know his word? Now, y'all know means we know God in a personal way. That means God looks beyond all of our faults and he sees our need. It means God loves us. Now God said, I love you, but do you love me?
Mm.
That's his question today. God knows us, but do you love me? He said, if you love me, then you'll what? You'll keep my commandments. God knows us. But how much of us do we know God? Do we know God enough to keep his commandments? What does God know about you? How far will you let God take you? Amen. Will you follow God to the entirety? Or will you be like many others, like Demas? Paul said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. This world will exert pressure on you to follow it. John tells us, love God, the world. Neither the things that are in the world. All that's in the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He said, this is not of the Father. If any man loves the world, then the love of the Father is what? Not in him. So we want to know God. Well, if you don't want to know him and if you love him, he said, then you need to do what? Keep my commandments. I want to read just one verse in Exodus for us. One last verse in Exodus, if y'all give me time. Exodus 20 and verse 6. I just want to read this. Amen. And there are other scriptures, but God willing, on Wednesday evening, we'll go over that in more entirety. Because how many of us want to know, what does God know about us? He tells them in the book of Jeremiah, there's not a secret place where you can hide yourself that I, God, don't see you. Amen. He tells them in Matthew, the 12th chapter, he said, you want to give account to God, not for the things that you have said, but for every idle word. Right? All that stuff that you've been entertaining in your mind, God said, they didn't know it, but I knew it. If you remember many times when the Lord was dealing with the Pharisees, he said he knew their thoughts. Right? So God said, I know your thoughts. You're going to have to give an account for some of those thoughts. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Exodus 20 and verse 6, I promise I'm going to close here. He says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that what? Showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and do what? So I said, why don't I have mercy? Are we keeping his commandments? If you love me, he said, then do what? As we all stand. I want to find a place in God. I want to find that secret place. I want to find that place that the psalmist said, he that dwelt in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's a special place. How many want to be under the shadow of the Almighty? You got to find that secret place. To find that secret place, you got to move yourself out of the way. Amen. It shouldn't be so much about us, what I want, what I desire. I want it today. How many of us can honestly say to our hearts, not my will, but thy will be done? How many of us can honestly say right there at this moment, Lord, wherever you lead me, I will, without questioning you, without challenging you, our challenges have a way of making us deny God. Follow the Lord to the end. What does God know about you? We don't have to know, but God knows that.